let us begin this service by singing 419, the stanzas 4 and 5. 419. From stores on high, thy streams flow over the heart and ere it lent. The fields are sown with corn and clover, be provided by thy hand. Number 419, the stanzas 4 and 5. First, we read to you the 12 articles of faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Further, we read to you from God's holy word out of the book of Job, the 5th chapter, Job 5. call now if there be any that that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath kindles, killeth the foolish man, and envy slays the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Never, neither is there any to deliver them, whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns. And the robber swallows up the substance, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither does trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that below, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the forward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from the mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor has hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to the grave in full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in its season. Lo, this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is in thy long suffering and in thy tender mercies that we are privileged also in this evening of this Sabbath day to come up again into thy courts and to place ourselves under thy word and testimony. For so many people it is cut off, and so many laying in hospitals and in institutions, and so many in their homes on account of their old age and all kind of infirmities, that it is impossible to place himself under the eternal testimony. And where it has pleased us to bring us together in this evening, Lord, thou hast promised with thy Godhead, majesty, grace, and with thy presence to be there and to bless them that are gathered in thy holy name. In the name of Christ Jesus, in whom thou art well pleased forever, and in him who has merited all temporal and spiritual blessings in heaven, in Christ Jesus. Lord, made us by thy blessed Spirit receptive for the word that shall come unto us. Make room in our hearts for Christ and him crucified, as the way, the life, and the truth, as that only name which is given under heaven, whereby that we must be saved. Lord, pass us not by in this evening, but gladden our heart, and that the last gathering in this Sabbath day, that it was to an eternal blessing for young and old, for great and small, to the building up of thy kingdom, to the glorification of thy precious name, to the salvation of sinners, and that for our own soul, that we may receive provision on our pathway to the desert and wilderness of this world, and where our time is short, and that message comes time and again to us, set thy house in order, you shall surely die. Lord, prepare our soul and the soul of our children to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. And that our gathering in this evening was in the fear of thy name, but also to the gladness of our heart. There is no worthiness in us at all. We have forfeited the least of thy blessings, but you as in Christ, who is the fountain of life, and that everlasting life for all thy people, that our empty hearts in this evening be filled out of the fullness of Christ with grace for grace, and that we together could leave this place with gladness and with joy in our heart. Supply the needs and the wants also in the different hospitals. Strengthen that young father also in that test that he shall have in the day of tomorrow. Lord, that it not to be serious, but that he and his wife and family be gladdened to prolong his life and to bind him with all the needs and wants at the throne of grace. That girl and also that boy, you are still in the hospital on account of that accident. Lord, prolong their life also. Take them not away in the prime of their life, but that it may please thee to give them back to the dear children and to learn while they are young to seek their Creator before that evil day shall come, that we shall say we have no desire. Remember all the sick and afflicted, all the widows, orphans and widows, and all those that in the service of the country, with the president and with all those that rule over us. Lord, thou knowest in what troublous times and alarming times that we are living, and what in spirits that are coming up and revealing himself to destroy, if it was possible, the whole country. But Lord, have mercy. Have mercy with us. Leave us not over in the hand of the communists and the atheists and all the powers out of hell, but give President and Congress, the White House, give all of us that grace to bow under the Most High God, confessing our sin and returning to the law and to the testimony. Then there was no hope also for our country. Remember us in mercy, strengthen all thy servants, and give also us in this evening few words to speak to the edifying of the church and to the honor of thy name, but also to the gladness and consolation of our heart with the forgiveness of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 136. Dust to dust the mortal dies, both the foolish and the wise. None forever can remain, each must leave his ordered game. Number 136. Thank you. Beloved congregation, this month is in general also for our country the month of harvest. First of all, when you were in the country and you have looked to it, then you have seen that even few weeks ago already that the hay was cut off. And now it is the time for the barley, and it is the time also for the wheat, that it shall be brought to the threshing floor. There is, of course, much more than wheat and hay and barley, but still in this month, that is especially the time that the harvest is ripe and that they bring it to the right place. There are already some parts of the field at the present time who are empty. And later on, then it go also with the corn. Now it is green, still green, but it shall not take so long, especially with the warm weather. And then they shall pluck the corn too. And now in the Word of God, we have so many texts that refers also to the different season that there are in the realm of nature. They all have to learn something to us and instruct us in several ways. Also, what we will consider in this evening out of our text that you will find in the book of Job, the 5th chapter, verse 26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Thus far, we have in our text this evening a very comforting promise. In the first place, the subjects of that promise. In the second place, the contents of that promise. And finally, the fulfilling of that promise. The words of our text are spoken by one of the friends of Job, Eliphaz the Temanite, one of his three friends. However, they have not the right look to the condition in which Job was at the present time, but still you can well realize that notwithstanding all those words that they have spoken to him, that they still did believe that he was a man with grace in his heart, and that Eliphaz, he had tried in this chapter to comfort especially Job in all his distress, saying to him, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. First of all, we have to consider in few words the subjects of that promise. Of course, when I come to that first point, then there is very much to explain. You know, in the first place, that all the promises, as many that there are, they are in Christ, yea and amen, to the glory of the Lord, for all those that fear the Lord and that walk in his ways. I shall give you only few things this evening to consider, because Job, he speaks about those that mourn and those that are poor, and that are two things especially what refers to the life of God's people. There can be never in our life, congregation, a divine joy if there is never before a godly sorrow in our soul. That is what the Lord tells us in his precious word. There must be in our life, when the Spirit makes us alive, and when he works in us that true spiritual life, then there must be a godly sorrow over our sins in our heart. That is always the first thing that you can realize by all those that come under true conviction. In the second place, because it is not necessary that I added so many words to that in this evening, I will, on account of the warmth, I will be very short, but give you some points to consider and to take with you what is necessary for each and every one. Shall we be a subject of the promises of the Lord? And now I talk not to you about the depth of it and the measure of it, but only I will say to you this evening the principle of it that must be in our heart. And then I take, of course, well, great steps now, but you can well take that this evening. Then in the second place, there is in this chapter a text in the 16th verse that said, so the poor has hope. And now that means that the Lord, he makes all his people poor. They are not poor in the Lord. They are rich in him. They have the greatest riches that you ever can imagine, to have spiritual life, and that the Lord is their portion for time and for eternity, that they have a place to go and a Lord who never. And we can say that with all freedom and liberty, a God who never disappoints his people, a God who is always friendly, merciful, gracious, and full of love and kindness for them. He shall never, that is his own word, he shall never leave and he shall never forsake them. How much doubts, how many doubts, that there time and again be in the heart and in the soul. The Lord, he makes that people poor with all that they receive, and with all that the Lord reveals unto them here in this world. In himself they are poor. And the Lord Jesus, he said in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. Thus, that means those that are poor in sight. And it is one of the evidences that there is grace in our heart, that we go through this world as a poor sinner in ourselves. That man in Luke 18, that publican, was standing in the back of the temple, that man, he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was at the beginning of his life. Later on, then he became before the Lord a poor sinner. And of course, we don't know how old that man was when he died, but we know it for sure out of the word of God that when he died, then he died not as a rich man, but he died as a poor sinner. That is now for this evening enough for my first point. And everyone can now examine himself whether that he ever shed tears in his life. First, because he had sinned against the Lord. And second, he is separated from the Lord by virtue of his fall in Adam. And now, in the second place, the contents of that promise. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. Thou shalt come to thy grave, said that text, not to an oven, as it takes place in our days with so many people, also in Grand Rapids, more and more. That is against the word of God, people. And those that have in their heart and in their conscience respect for the Lord and for his testimony, they shall never make the decision that when they die, that their body shall be cremated. No. But the text said, thou shalt come to thy grave. It is a blessing when we die that we be buried. That is a great blessing. We have seen in 1940 that several people that they were buried in their yard. There was, in the time of war, there was no time, there was no opportunity that they were buried in a cemetery. It was impossible. And then their own children, they digged a pit in the garden for their father and for their mother. What a thought. But of course, there was no other way. Later on, then they took him and they brought him to the cemetery. But especially in a city as though we were living in that time in Rotterdam, with 100 and 100 people happens dead. And not only that, but later on, they digged open places that they buried sometime 100 people together in some pit in the country without coffin, without caskets, but they put them in such a pit. What an awful condition. And then in such times, then you are realizing what a blessing that it is also for our families and relatives that they can be buried in a cemetery. For God's people, there is a place bought by Christ. The Lord, he had bought his people with an high price for soul and for body. The Lord takes care for their body here in this temporal life. The Lord supplied their needs and their wants. And those that trust in the Lord and rely upon him, that shall realize that the Lord is an unchangeable, but that he is also a faithful God in the fulfilling of what he had promised. You have never seen, as David said in Psalm 37, the righteous forsaken, nor his seed looking after bread. Even the grandchildren, sometime great-grandchildren of those that have feared the Lord, they are joined in the benefits that the Lord had granted unto them that fear the Lord. You know that is not enough for eternity, but it is a great blessing to share in it in our life. And it is a greater blessing that when we see those blessings that we receive on account of what the Lord had promised to a converted father and mother, that it drives us out to the Lord and to his throne to receive such a portion that never shall be taken away from us, also when the hour of death come. Thou shalt, said that text, thou shalt come to thy grave. The Lord had appointed a place for all his people. And the ground of that lays in Matthew 27. Because Judas, he had betrayed Christ. And then that money that he brought back in the temple, they have not put that in that offer kist that there was standing always in that box, but they bought a cemetery, and that was for the strangers. For those that visited Jerusalem time and again, not living there, but visiting there and then dying there, as that happens time and again, and then that certain place that was for those strangers. God's people, they are also strangers. And where that they die, the Lord shall take care that they have a place to be buried. Thou shalt come to thy grave. But now it said, in a full age, in a full age, is now the meaning of that text, that all God's people become old, and that in comparison of that people, the worldly and the wicked people, that they all die young? No. You read even in the Bible about a sinner 100 years old, that he shall be cursed. But there is a special meaning in that text, in full age. It is, to a certain extent, it is a great blessing when we become old. You read that already in the 10th commandments in Exodus 20, where the Lord said in that 5th commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, belonging upon the land with the Lord thy God giveth thee. There are also texts in the Bible that tells us that the wicked shall not bring the days to a full age, but that they shall die in the prime of their life. An example of that you have in Absalom, who died in the prime and in the power of his life. But still, we have many people in the Bible too, and in the history of the church, that they died when they were young. The child of Jeroboam, he died also when he was young. You have an example in him. And still, he came to his grave in full age. And in full age, that means that they have fulfilled the counsel of the Lord, and that they were made ready to die. Hugo Binning, that great divine out of Scotland, he died when he was between 25 and 26 years old. And he was longing to die. You read the same in the life of Andrew Gray. The Lord had promised him that before that he was 22 years old, that the Lord took him up in glory. And he was 21, and it happens. And also from that boy, we can say that he came to the grave, like his grave, in a full age. And there are so many divines in England too, and in the Netherlands, that have died under the 30 years old. We can mention to you many names this evening, but of course it is not necessary that I shall do it. But they die in full age. That means the Lord had prepared them to die. And it is for God's people, as you read in Revelation 14, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. The Lord prepared his people. I tell you in what way. As soon as the Lord converted his people, then they become alien and strangers and pilgrims here in this world. And from the time that the Lord converted them, then they are no longer home here in this world. And why not? You read that also in the Word of God. We find that in Hebrews 11, where you read about Abraham and those fathers, by faith, they journeyed in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Thus, there you have the resolution about the life of God's people. The Lord prepared that people for eternity. You read about a king in the Old Testament. He knew by what the prophet had told him that he had still 1 year to live. And then, of course, he died. You read also in the Word of God about Hezekiah that the Lord promised him to add to his life 50 years. And when the 50 years were gone, then the Lord, he took him up in glory. But of course, that happens seldom. There are not so many who know when that they shall die. For most of God's people is that concealed and hidden. But nevertheless, if we come to a certain age, then we realize time and again that our strength has become less. Desire fails. It is no more as that it was when we were 20 and 40 years old. No, it goes down, it is broken up, and we are realizing that man goes, as you read in Ecclesiastes 12, that man goes to his long home. And in blessing congregation, when there is ground to die, and that only ground that is Christ and him crucified, and that on that basis that our soul is longing to die and to be with the Lord forever and forever. Now I come to that second part of my text. Like as a shock of corn comes in a season. That is an emblem that is in the Bible taken here, a comparison with what happens in the realm of nature. Before that we talk about that we sing. Number 204. Ever, O Lord, with thee, all shall be well with me, held by thy hand, and thou wilt guide my feet by thine own counsel sweet, till I for glory meet in glory stand. 204, 2 and 3. shall come to thy grave in full age, like as a shock of corn comes in a season. It was in the olden times, in the Old Testament, a very great event when the harvest was there. The first of the harvest was brought before the Lord on Easter with Passover, and the first two loaves were brought and lay and laid before the Lord on the day of Pentecost to dedicate the harvest unto the Lord. There is, of course, much that goes before the time that the sheep, or the, here it is mentioned as a shock in Psalm 126. We have, as you know, another word. There it is, he that goes forth and weepeth, bearing precious his seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing his sheaves with him. But here it is in our text, a shock of corn, because first of all the land had to be prepared for the seed, the cast time, and then after that that corn is planted, then the girdle that have to die in the ground. John 12, verse 24, referring to Christ. And if that girdle died in the ground, then it developed, and later on it comes up, and it goes higher and higher up, till that the time comes that corn become ripe. And there are two things that the farmer can know that the corn starting ripen. What are those two things? We were also brought up in a land full of corn in the Netherlands years ago, in a little place in Zeeland. And we have seen that, of course, years after years, and it has drawn my attention so many times in the summer months, especially in August, when the corn became ripe, that the cup of the corn, the head of the corn, that is bound to the ground. And then when you walk in the midst of that field, then it is so different as that it was in the month March and April, because then the ground, sometime it was so hard that you could not come in with your fingers in the ground. But if it is August, then the ground is loosened. And then it has happened that when we were walking through the fields, through the corn fields, that you were stepping in the dust. It was all dust, it was no more hard as that it was before. That are the two things that you can know that the wheat is ripened. And so it is in the life of God's people too. Because not they for themselves many times, but their families, they are realizing it. My father, my mother goes to the end. They talk different, they pray different. Their whole life is different as that it was before. That they sometimes say to one another, you can realize that the Lord is busy to prepare my father or my mother
to die and to leave his earthly abode. What a blessing, what a blessing, people. What a blessing. We read in the Word of God about Stephen, that man that was also a young man when he was a deacon in the church, full of faith and full of the Spirit. And when he was standing before the councils there and before those colleges, as you read that in Acts 6, then you read also that there was a glimpse that lays upon his face, a brightness from the Lord that was laying, and he saw there, while they were ready to stone him, he saw there the Son of God standing at the right hand of his Father to take him up in heaven. And it is also known of the history when Ledeboer, one of our old ministers, when he was 55 years old, his life that was so wasted away on account of the love of God, and on account that he was so long for that heavenly Jerusalem, once that he preached on a Sunday, he left already the pulpit, but there was a desire in his heart to say of some words to the congregation on account that he realized that it was the last time. He called the janitor of that church, all the people are standing outside, of course, and he commanded them all to come in the church again. And then he go on the pulpit, and he was waving with his hands, and he said, "Congregation, farewell forever, farewell forever, amen." And that was at the last. In the same week, the Lord, he took that man away in glory. Oh, then you can say, as a shock of corn comes in a season ripe for eternity. Oh, it is remarkable, it is now, of course, in our days, is here the same thing as in other countries. Now it is all machinery, but in former days than it was, they go with the horses to the field and with wagons, and then there were several people in that corn field, and they took the sheaves, the shock of corn, they took them up and they put them on that wagon till that wagon was filled, and then they go to the barn. And we have seen it so many times at that time, that it was even that the horses that they know, what a gladness that there was by the farmers, that they brought that corn, those shock of corn in the barn. And then of course later on it come on the threshold floor, but we talk not about that this evening. It is only that emblem that I will bring out in this evening in your midst. And now, like as a shock of corn comes in a season, the shock of corn that is passive, you know that, because that shock of corn that go not himself to that wagon, no, but there are men that is working in the field there, they take it up, and they lay it up on the wagon, and then it goes away. And so, congregation, so shall the Lord send someday his holy angels to take that people out of the strife and of the wilderness of this world. And that shall be the greatest thing of all people, delivered of the devil, delivered of the world, delivered of all their enemies, but above all delivered of self. they live it up self, people. That they come in a country that they no more have to sin. No more have to sin, people. But as the holy angels before the throne of God and the Lamb to give with the 24 elders all the honor and all the praise and all the glory to the Father who has chosen them, to the Son who has bought them and who has delivered them, and for the Holy Ghost who hath made room for the Christ in their heart, and who hath done all the work in the applying of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of our ministers, who died in 49. He said once on the pulpit in his last prayer that he sent up to the Lord. He said, "Oh, blessed Spirit, I shall soon praise thee forever and forever that you have made wet my eyes, that I became, that I was long after God, that godly sorrow not to be repented of, no, but that shall say change soon in an eternal joy, where the people shall have no more trouble. But then, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, then they shall be ever with the Lord, and then they are home, as that shock of corn is housed in the barn, so that people that shall enter in that heavenly Jerusalem, and then Christ shall lead them to the fountains of water, and they shall drink, and they shall never hunger and thirst. But the joy of the Lord that shall be ever the portion of all God's dear children, all children of God, think upon all the people that was in the midst also years ago, and that is now delivered forever and forever. They have no more desire to come back. Oh no. But that they are home in that sweet communion with a triune God forever and ever. Oh, young and old, great and small, I shall stop for this evening and for this Sabbath day. But I hope that a few words this evening, oh, that the Lord bringeth this in your heart, that the Lord applieth this to your soul. Seek the Lord while he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near, and that we seek him with our whole heart, where it is still the day of grace and the day of salvation. We have columns enough in our church again, people. Columns. They are still not living, the girl and the boy. But one we cannot reach, no, with our words and with our prayers, however that we are every day there. But when I look there, then I talk, oh Lord, oh, bring her not back to make her concerned for the eternal welfare and salvation, because it shall be something, people, other families have experienced in our midst too. But it shall be something to fall in the hands of the living God, without surety, without grace, without blood, and without righteousness, the Lord remember all of us in his condescending mercy, and that the preaching also of this day, that it not shall testify against you, young boys and girls, oh, remember to die, set your house in order, place it not far away from you, but that you live with it, and that you go to your bed with it, with all those thoughts, that you must be regenerated, shall you enter into the kingdom of God, and children of God, that thou shalt be gladdened in the Lord, that he may lose us from this world, and from all the things of this world, and that our hope and expectation, that it be with Jacob of old, upon thy salvation, I have hoped, amen. Lord, bless the words spoken in this Sabbath day and in this evening hour. Apply it by thy Spirit to all of our hearts, young and old, great and small. Remember the congregation with offers bearers. Remember that old mother, that widow, who will become this coming week 92 years old. She is no more able to gather with us in the church, but we can enter at thy throne, and before that she shall die, that she receive a crumb fallen from this master's table. Protect our boys and our girls from day to day and from moment to moment, that our life be in the fear of thy holy name. Look upon the congregation and the offers bearers, and all the needs and wants. We commend them at thy throne. Hear us with the pardoning of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 30. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and what follows? evening for Mrs. for April, though the 92 years Wednesday, the Lord willing. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.